What's up? Welcome to episode 336 of the Peaceful Podcast. I'm JCM. With this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley is unavailable. Ironically, he's out of power, even though California's been doing these PG&E mandatory shutoffs, and he's not in California, so.
Mm-hmm. The two people in California have power, but Isley doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, well. He does have his phone, but he doesn't have any headphones or headset, so I'm not going to make him use that. Plus, it could be, who knows if his cell phone connection's good at his house, but that's fine. It'll be a short one. Let's see here. We had some new releases this week. Concrete Genie came out on Tuesday. It's $30. I haven't purchased it or played it, and I haven't seen any reviews for it yet. So
I want to play it so bad.
Yeah, it looks good, and I'm surprised there weren't any reviews up.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't, like, that much else that was big. Because, I mean, I guess I suppose people were finishing up their Ghost Recon Breakpoint reviews because that game came out on Friday officially of last week. It released early for, like, early access pre-orders. But then people had to, you know, spend 40 hours finishing the campaign. So I guess they were finalizing their reviews. Not that necessarily those people would be the same people to review Concrete Genie, but, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, that's there's no reviews on that yet. I guess people, maybe Shadowkeep is also taking up some time. People had to finish that off, I guess. I don't know. But then on Friday, we had Frostpunk came out on consoles, which I need to purchase. I totally forgot it was going to come out on Friday, and then I saw the tweet from the developer, and I was like, oh, I need to get me some Frostpunk, and that's only $30. I almost bought it. I don't think they came out with a Mac version. I think by the time they announced the Mac version, they announced they're going to do a console version. I was like, oh, well, I'll just get it on a console. But, yeah, I've been really wanting to play Frostpunk for a long time, so... and then aside from that, I don't think... That's the one thing I hate about the new section on the PS4 is that there's... It's not in order of release date, where it's the newest first. Like, FIFA 20... It's, like, by popularity, because FIFA 20 is right up front, and then Shadowkeep, Breakpoint, Borderlands, and then Concrete Genie. But then Frostpunk's, like, way in the back, past Iceborne, from Monster Hunter, Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation 2, Covain, Indivisible, Ghostbusters Remastered, and then right next to A Knight's Quest is Frostpunk, so I don't know. Whatever. There are some deals going on right now on the store that are going to be going on for a while. Let's see, we got the Games of Generation sale. Well, that ends on the 15th. Then there's the PSVR Anniversary sale. A lot of stuff 50% off. That ends on the 22nd. There's a WB Publisher sale up to 70% off. That ends on Monday, of course, but hopefully people saw that. But there's a lot of discounts going on right now. I was looking at some of those VR sales, and they're really good. It's like a lot of stuff in there. But yeah, it's I don't have VR, so I can't really get that. But let's see what else. I like how it's like PS Plus deals, Warframe, originally free, PlayStation Plus free, Apex free. PS Plus free. It's like, come on, guys.
These games are free.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but that's really weird. They did like all the highlighted stuff except for Trials of Cold Steel 3 is free stuff because they got World of Warships Legends, they got Fortnite free skin packs for PlayStation Plus. So I don't know what that's about. But yeah, let's after I clear my throat, we'll jump to the news. I've been having this itch in the back of my throat for like a week and a half. Not an itch, but like a tickle. It's been driving me bonkers.
That's the first sign of patient zero.
That's right. It's like it's going to be the, I don't know, the zombie tickle, I guess. Zombie tickle outbreak. Instead of eating brains, they just go around tickling everybody, I guess. But it's, yeah, as far as news goes, we have a couple things. On Monday, we had the official, another blog post, and then Wired article, officially calling the next PlayStation, PlayStation 5, which I think we all kind of expected, especially after they called PlayStation 4, PlayStation 4. They also, again, the Wired article got to see the new controller, which has some voice coil actuators in it to make it, so instead of rumble, they're doing like this haptic feedback. They played Gran Turismo, I think it was Gran Turismo Sport. And then they played some, oh, what was that? Oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on the name. Astrobot. There we go. They played a updated version of Astrobot where, like, they talked about the way, how the game kind of gives you this feedback of, like, moving through sand or mud or walking on ice. And it all sounded pretty interesting. You can read the whole article. I'm not going to break it down point by point. And it sounds like they're doing some interesting stuff, because if you think about Nintendo, they did the HD Rumble, but then they haven't done much with that post-launch. And then Microsoft had the Rumble triggers, which were, from what I've heard, a really cool feature, but only really used in the Forza series, for like when you're driving. And then no one else really used it. But if this isn't a Rumble, it's more of this haptic kind of feedback thing. It sounds interesting, but then also make it sound like, A, the controller's going to be more expensive, and B, you know, more prone to breaking, I guess. But, yeah, we'll see. They did say there's going to be USB-C charging. It's going to have a bigger battery. And it says they said it weighs about just under what an Xbox controller with batteries weighs. And I like a heavier controller. Like, the current controller has a decent weight to it, but it's very back heavy. Especially if you have it plugged in and you're charging with it, you can definitely feel it on the back end. I kind of hoping that it has a little more heft on the handle parts, but that's just me. And they did announce that the console will be released in holiday 2020, which is what a lot of people were expecting. They also confirmed the Famitsu rather added one more detail about it, the PlayStation 5, confirming the CPU being the Ryzen 7 mid-tier processor that AMD is doing, which is what a lot of people were expecting, especially when they did their timeline for what their processor is going to be over the coming years from a few years back. So it just confirms it. But yeah, that's good. We also saw, they talked about the SSD some more and how games, the PS5 will be, we all know it's backwards compatible with VR and PS4, but they confirmed that they can use 100 gigabyte Blu-rays on it. And then it will also play 4K Blu-rays, which is great, because that's one of the problems I had with the PS4 Pros. They didn't make it a 4K Blu-ray player. I mean, they said, you know, oh, we don't see people really using physical, you know, movies. They're streaming. And it's like, you're selling 4K Blu-rays, bruh. Like,
yeah, don't make the media if you don't intend for people to use it.
Right. It's like, streaming is great. Your Netflix 4K looks really good. It's like, yeah, that looks great. But there's physical current, because the bitrate is so high, will look way better. Like when I watch The Martian or, you know, Wonder Woman or any of these 4Ks I have that are like, you know, shot in 4K or maybe shot in 2K but upscaled to 4, still look better than the streaming counterpart. But yeah, it's like I had to buy a standalone Blu-ray, 4K Blu-ray player for it, but it's like, it's great to at least have it on the PS4 or PS5 rather. But yeah, they talked more about how the ray tracing isn't going to be software enabled. It's going to be hardware, which is good to hear. They also talked about some, let's see, I'm trying to see what the bits, they talked about, oh, install is mandatory, which, duh, I mean, it's mandatory on PS4 anyways. But they were talking about how the people were wondering about this, since the SSD is in the console, and, you know, you're not going to really be reading. Oh, they talked about as well how the way it's going to segregate data. Like, they talked about something I never even considered, where on a regular hard drive, you know, you got the needle jumping back and forth on the disk trying to get this data, is that game devs would duplicate game data, kind of like a RAID, a hard drive RAID, where they would just have multiple chunks of the same data in different parts of the disk. That way, if you have, like, you're in a level or doing something and some data's on an inner portion of the disk, it doesn't have to, the needle doesn't have to jump to the outer portion of the disk to get the other data it needs. It could jump, like, oh, in the middle, or, you know, it doesn't have to jump as far, so it saves load time. And I was like, I never considered that. And it makes so much sense. But that also no doubt contributes to larger game files. I mean, look at Red Dead was 2 discs. Last of Us 2 is going to be 2 discs. But yeah, they talked about how now you'll be able to delete. Obviously, this will have to be up to the developers. But you can delete single player or multiplayer components of a game once you're done with it. So it's like, oh, I played the new Call of Duty. I want to delete the campaign and just keep the multiplayer. Or I played the new Killzone, or, you know, yada yada, this and that. And they've had that function in reverse where you can download and install one portion previously. And then Sony did it with Killzone 3, where a while after that game launched, they, on the store digitally, you could buy just the campaign or just the multiplayer. I think the campaign was like about 70% of the total cost, and the multiplayer was like 30%. I thought, like, this is really cool, but they never went any further with it. And I was like, man, I kind of wish they had done that. Like, someone had actually split multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
But they said doing that would at least, you know, save space and yada yada. But yet, having the SSD, it's making a lot of people wonder, because it's like this proprietary thing they're doing, if they'll have their own, if you can upgrade it with a bigger SSD that they sell, or if you're stuck with like, oh, it's a 1 gig, or not 1 gig. Yeah, it's just 1 gig.
Just 1 gig.
But if it's, you know, this one hard drive you have, like, will it, if it's not upgradable, can you still do external storage? And now we doubt you'll be able to play off that external hard drive, because you can't on the PlayStation 4 right now, like you can on Xbox. But at least you could have the external, and then games you don't want to play, or you're not currently playing, you know, waiting for DLC in like 6 months, transfer it to the external to make room on the SSD for your active games, and transfer it. Kind of like, you know, PCs, how they have, you know, people have like a 256 SSD as their boot drive, and their most popular games that they install from Steam. They go, oh, I put that on, you know, mm-hmm. I got PUBG on the SSD, so it loads faster. And everything else is on the other hard drive. I'm sure it'll operate, but I'm really curious how big the drive's going to be. But yeah, we'll see. It probably at this point would be 1 terabyte, but I'm kind of hoping they do. I mean, apparently the prices, I've heard that the prices of SSDs have gone down, but since they're doing a custom one, I don't know. I mean, you play a lot of games on your PS4. Have you run into, what size hard drive do you have in yours?
Whatever the size came in the God of War edition.
Is a pro, right?
Yeah, it's a 4. I think, you know, how big is the hard drive in the
should
PS4?
Be a terabyte, right?
I think it's 500.
Only 500? I thought the pro custom consoles like that were 1 terabyte.
I have no idea.
Well, either way, have you run into hard drive space issues?
No, and I haven't really deleted anything either. So.
Yeah. What about on your? And do you run into that in your Switch?
Oh no, I haven't, because I have most of like the I have physical games for my Switch. I think I only have like a couple digital games, so I buy the little cartridges. So most of the stuff that's stored on my Switch is stored on the SD card, which I have like a massive SD card in my Switch. So I think I only have like, I don't know, maybe 3 digital games, and the biggest one is probably Mario Kart. So I don't really have an issue with storage on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's 1 terabyte for the PlayStation. So yeah, we haven't really had any storage issues or anything like that. Not that we play like a ton of games, but we'd never really delete anything off of it either. So everything that's on it is like everything I've played.
Yeah, true. And then when I'm looking at mine, sorting by file size, and the games that I have that are huge are not necessarily games that you or Michael would play.
Yeah, our largest install on the PS4 is Final Fantasy 15. I think it's like 160, maybe 170 gigabytes or something like that. But that's with like all the DLC, all the like extra stuff. We have a couple save files, all of the updates from, you know, the launch of the game. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty hefty install, but that's far and away our biggest install. I don't think our next install comes anywhere close to it.
Yeah. I have a I put a 2 terabyte hybrid drive in mine from my old PS4 into it, and I have currently I have 270 gigs remaining.
Holy shit.
So I've 1.41 terabytes of games installed with almost I almost have 100 gigs of captured gallery data. I gotta delete.
Oh, that's my problem too. Is I take screenshots and videos and then I never trim my videos, so I probably have like 30 15 minute clips of Final Fantasy 15 on my hard drive.
I have over two gigs of save data, but yeah, my like biggest applications, like I haven't run into any hard drive issues, but there were some old games that had I not deleted them I probably could have, but they were games that were like annualized, so like if I still had like, because Assassin's Creed damn, it's tickle, man. I'm turning this on.
I'm telling you.
Yep, it's happening. It's home county, ground zero. But like Assassin's Creed Odyssey is 100 gigs. So if I still had Origins, that's going to be 100 gigs as well. Mm-hmm. And then I have like Battlefield 5, and that's only 73. But if I still have Battlefield 1, probably going to be the same bit. So it's like that, and then I'm trying to think of like what else if I had kept installed. Like do I have... yeah, there's got to be some like Fallout. If I had Fallout 4, because I have 76, and Fallout 76 is 75 gigs. I know Fallout 4 was huge, especially when they added the mod support on consoles. But yeah, there's like if I had these, you know, franchise games, if I had their previous iterations still installed, mm-hmm. I would have run out of space. But I ended up, you know, deleting them. Like, okay, I platinumed that game. I got it done. Like I have Spider-Man still installed. I don't know why. And that's 70 gigs, so I don't need that. Days Gone, I don't need installed anymore, right? And, but yeah, it's like, once you get past the top, the biggest files I've got, like, they start to drop pretty quick. Like, they get down to 50s yeah. and 40s, 37, and then instantly, like, down to 25. Like, Control is only 27 gigs. Fortnite is 25. Resident Evil 2 is 25.
Yeah, I think I've deleted, like, maybe one game from the system, but it was a game that I was like, I'm never going to play that again, or something that I borrowed and played and I don't actually own, so I was like, I guess I should delete the game data because I don't need it.
Yeah. Like, man, I look at some games and I'm like, I'm surprised there's some, like, Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition, which is the first one, is only 9 gigs, and then Divinity 2 is only 22 gigs. And I'm like, I feel like those games should be much bigger than they are, but
exactly, like I have games like open world graphically intensive games though.
Yeah, I'm not like running, yeah, I guess they don't have these high texture packs. Like Far Cry New Dawn is like 25, which is bigger than Divinity 2, but you figure that's first person, you got all these texture packs you gotta load in there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have games installed I don't even play, like I have Yakuza Kiwami, which I think was PlayStation Plus game.
Yeah,
it's like I don't know why that's there. For some reason, my Share Factory is like 7 gigs. They got to get rid of that. But yeah, I have just all this stuff. But yeah, it's... yeah, the smallest game I have... The smallest game, which is bigger than all the like Hulu and Netflix applications, is Castlevania Requiem, which is the Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood. That's 1.3 gigs.
I'm surprised it's even that big.
Well, I think that Symphony of the Night on its own is close to 800, because I think when I got it on PSP back in the day, it was like 860 something, or megabits, not gigs. But it was huge. But yeah, it's just, luckily I haven't, but I'd imagine that these games are going to be bigger, especially because they say it has, oh, we have 8K support, not, don't make your games 8K, just don't do that. And then
make
who knows
optional.
How much.
Yeah. If I want that texture pack, I'll download it.
And then who knows how much bigger the ray tracing stuff's going to be if they end up doing ray tracing. But yeah, we'll see. But yeah, that's oh, and then they had a couple dev comments. I think they had someone from EA say some stuff, but then they had Marco Thrush of Bluepoint Games talk about how, you know, he's excited about basically the instant loading, kind of like how cartridges were back in the day. But he reconfirms that his studio is working on a, quote, big new game. So, because they did, of course, Shadow Colossus previously, and they haven't talked about what they're doing next. But it's something big, so I'm really curious what they're doing. can't imagine what they could be making.
I don't know. Something really big.
Well, a lot of people, speculation for a long time used to be the original Metal Gear Solid, which of course was redone on GameCube by Silicon Knights to showcase the Metal Gear 2 engine.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't necessarily a great remake. I played it and it's like they changed a couple of voice actors. They changed dialogue. They also made some scenes a little more crazy. But yeah, we'll see what happens. It also apparently looks like a microphone in the controller because there's some hole in it, but Mark Cerny wouldn't comment on it. It's like, this is a microphone. It's like, yeah.
Don't talk about his hole.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, that's not too far out. Like I said, it's right where we thought it would be. So it's going to be a good holiday. I'd imagine we'll hear more.
I'm not going to get one, so good luck.
You're not going to get one?
No, I think I'm going to wait for like a special edition of some kind. Like I did with the PS4, I waited for the white one.
Oh,
so
right.
I'm sure it won't be long. If there's not one at holiday, I'll just wait until maybe there's like a bundle with a game that I really want for it, or if there's a special edition or something, I'll just wait for it. So,
was the white one the Destiny one?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Was it the first Destiny or Destiny 2?
Destiny 1.
Okay, so that would have been
the original PS4. And then when Destiny 2 came out, I think there was a white Pro that it came with.
Was that 2014 when the Destiny came out?
Sure.
I think so. Because it came out on all the consoles. And that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so at least a year after. So that's not too long after launch.
No. It gave me time to save up for it, too, because obviously it was more expensive. So it was like, I want the PS4, and there's a white one. It's a special edition one. Yeah, I'll go ahead and spend the extra money to get that one. So that's what I think I'm going to do with the 5.
Yeah. Yeah, moving along. Some sad news. Doom Eternal got delayed to 2020. Originally supposed to release on November 15th, which I totally forgot. So when they announced the delay to March 3rd, 2020, I was like, I thought it was coming out in Q1 anyways, because so much stuff is coming out in Q1. but yeah, so you'll have to wait for that. I mean, you know, if you got to take time, take time. And I prefer delays be a couple months versus the delays where it's like a month, because I feel like I don't know how much you can do in a month. I'm not a game dev, but I feel like I don't know, perception always seems like if it only takes you a month, then if you couldn't like day one patch it, or was it not that big? I don't know. I feel like if it's going to be delayed, do it a little longer. But then we have a Apex Legends Fight or Fright Halloween event coming up on October 15th through November. I want to say November 15th as well. It's going to include a nighttime version of the original map, King's Canyon, which looks really cool. Also some Halloween costumes that you can unlock. They showcased ones for Crypto. It kind of looks like Dracula. There's one for Caustic. He looks like a clown. And I think some other ones. I haven't seen every single one of them. But it's cool. I'm glad they're doing this kind of event. And you can earn the skins through credits, or you can just buy them straight out, kind of like previous events. I'll look forward to that. That'll be interesting because that means they're going to split the player base, because you have the new map and then you have this event map going on, but it's also people are still playing ranked, so you got regular play, ranked, and then the event. But I look forward to playing. I like night maps in games. They're always fun. That's what I loved about Battlefield. I feel like Battlefield was always really good at having night maps. But and then Fortnite has an event coming up called The End. People are speculating that it's going to be, they're going to get rid of the map that they've had for 10 seasons and do an entirely new map. But that's supposed to happen, whatever the event is, it's going to happen tomorrow at 11 a.m. I haven't played Fortnite since Apex came out. I think I hopped in like once during the John Wick promo, and then that was it. And I haven't played since. But yeah, they have that big event coming up, so people playing that can look forward to it. Then we also had Hideo Kojima and Kojima Productions announced this World Strand Tour.
I want to go. I just want to see what it is.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Kojima?
Right. There's no details. Though I think I saw that it was, I wish I can pull it up because I can find it afterwards, but you know, we were speculating, is this a pre or post launch thing? But then I saw something else that said it was a people can get their hands on with the game, and then but the way they word it made it sound like get hands on with Death Stranding before it launches. And I'm like, well, if that's the case, then that shit's coming up soon, because that game goes out on the 9th. So I'm like, you don't have much time left to A, announce the dates, or not the 9th, sorry, the 8th. It's like, man, you got 4 weeks from yesterday to, you know, tell us what the dates are for this crazy event you're doing.
There's just going to be a tweet someday that's like, hey, our event was really fun. Thanks for everybody who happened to find us. It's like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen. But, yeah, we'll see. It's all over the place. It's like SF, LA, isn't it San Francisco, LA, New York, a couple places in Europe, and then Japan, I think, as well.
Yeah, it's like all over the place. So not only do they not have a lot of time to like announce dates, they don't have a lot of time to travel to all of those places.
Yeah, it's like, are you going to do... Yeah, how are the dates going to be spread? Or is it going to be like, it all happens at once and it's a live stream? But I'm like, well, how are you going to work in that time-wise? Like, it's going to be weird. Like, is one event in one place going to be in the evening, the other one's in the morning? Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
It's like, oh, God, it's like all over the place. Let's see. Paris, London, Berlin, New York, San Francisco, Tokyo, Osaka, Singapore, Taipei, and Seoul.
Yeah, good Lord.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, Kojima travels a lot. So maybe he's going to be like, it's going to be like a, you know, a band tour. He's going to be like, okay, one day here, travel the next day, then there, and then travel, and then, you know.
The event is literally just Kojima with, like, a PS4 Pro in his backpack, and he just, like, brings it to these random places and plugs it in for people.
He's just downing five-hour energy drinks. Yeah. Gotta stay awake. But, yeah, so we'll be curious to see what happens there. But, yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it for the news. A lot of speculation on PS5 after that the DSLs came out, when they're going to announce their stuff. I imagine it'll be, they'll probably do another, you know, Q1, maybe Q2 event where they actually show the console. Well, they didn't show the console until E3 after the announcement, because they did the same thing where they, during the PS4 announcement, they showed the controller, didn't show the console until E3. So I probably going to be the same thing. It'll be like, here's a controller, which they said, and again, in the wire article, it's very much like a DualShock 4. So it sounds like they're keeping that design, at least. I don't think they said if the touchpad was there or not. Or maybe they're
not. I would be shocked, because the touchpad wasn't really super used as a touchpad in 4 generations, so...
Yeah, it, the few games that used it, I liked a lot. Like, Killzone Shadowfall used it really well. I liked it there because it used all 4 quadrants. I liked how it was used in The Witcher, Witcher 3. I thought that was great. I was like, oh, this is fantastic, because it was essentially used as a shortcut. It's like, okay, you touch it from the map. If you swipe up, instead of pushing it, it'll take you directly to, like, the inventory. Or if you double tap it, I think it takes you to, like, different sections of the submenus, which I thought was great. Because I always hated, like, in The Witcher, like, the menus load. It's like, oh, I got a bestiary, I got a map, I got inventory, I got my skills. I'm like, knowing that I could just shortcut to them was great. Days Gone used it. I forget exactly how, but I know they had a unique thing for it. But yeah, other than that, there wasn't much.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of, like, unique uses for it. It was always, like, one side was one shortcut, the other side was another shortcut. That was, like, the standard for using it in the games. There weren't a whole lot of games that actually used it. So it would be weird for them to continue unless they have a way to, like... It would be nice if you could use shortcuts in, like, the UI with it. Like, being able to swipe for menu shortcuts and stuff like that, but... Other than that, it just seems kind of just there.
Yeah, because Bloodborne uses right, left and right side for different emote macros.
Well, one side was like it was like a quick item menu, and then the other side was emote menu or whatever.
Yeah. I do kind of like the fact that it's just a giant button, because then it makes it easy to press when I need to open up a map in a game.
It's a good panic button.
Yeah, I don't have to move my finger far from, like I can scroll the camera with the right stick and still tap if I'm like, okay, I want to open up the map. I do like that it is just a big button, even if it's not being used to its full potential.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it'll be... I can't imagine they could necessarily get rid of the... Like, the light will have to stay on there, especially if they have PSVR support. But if they have a bigger battery, then I guess it won't matter. Because I've never had a huge issue with the battery life of mine. But, yeah, I don't know. I know some people have problems with that. I don't know if they don't do the auto turn-off controllers, or if they just play, like, I guess if you had, like, a Saturday, and you're playing from morning to night, yeah, you're going to run into problems. But I guess I never really have that much kind of time anymore. And a lot of times I used to play wired because I want as lowest latency as possible in like any of the like Apex and stuff like that. But
the only place I could see it being a problem is like multiplayer households with like kids and stuff like that, because the only time we ever ran into battery issues or like dying controllers while we were playing is if we're both playing the same game like back to back. Because one person would play for a few hours, the next person would play for a few hours, and by the, you know, halfway through the day, if the game is technically still being played and like used, so the controller would die, we'd have to switch controllers or whatever. So like, if you have multiple people playing games all day and never charging the controller, that's the only... Other than that, like the controller would last all day if I was just playing.
Yeah. I didn't realize, going back to the Apex Legends Halloween event, it's not just a night mode. I didn't even read the other, because I was like, oh, I'll just wait for the event. I didn't read the other thing. It's there's going to be the mode is called Shadowfall. It drops 35 solo players into a dark map in Battle Royale gameplay with a twist. Players who die will respawn as the undead with no weapons or legend abilities, a damaging melee attack, increased movement speed, jump speed, the ability to scale walls, and unlimited skydiving respawns. The surviving 10 players then must work together to fight off the undead and make it to the evac ship to end the game.
Oh my god, okay. That sounds fun.
Okay, so it's not just... It starts as a battle royale, but then it turns into an objective-based GTFO. Speaking of GTFO, that got a new story trailer, but it didn't really show much. I feel like, okay, this isn't much of a story trailer for GTFO, which, of course, is the co-op, get-the-fuck-out, scary game that's going to come out. speaking of scary games, there was another game that got announced. I thought I saw... Oh, man, it's like Madness of the Moon, or Moon Madness or something.
Yeah, it's like... Is that the one where it's like something moon, but it's like a picture of a dude and an octopus or something like that?
Yeah, it's like, I guess it's Lovecraftian. I wish I can find it. I talked about it I mentioned it in Discord, but...
I just saw it this morning. Where the hell was it?
But yeah, it's that looked interesting. I can't find where I talked about it. But yeah, that looks... That looked pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. First person scary game. I don't remember the... Man, I gotta look it up.
I look forward to watching somebody else play it.
Is it Moon of Madness? Moon of Alabama? What?
I'm sorry, what?
Come on, Google. Moons of Madness. Yeah, it's a... Let's see. It was announced... There's a Steam for it. But I wonder if it's going to come out on other consoles. It's going to release on October 22nd is the planned release date. So it's on Steam. Rock Pocket Games is the developer.
It seems like something that, since it's coming out so soon and was just announced, it seems like something that they're just pushing out on Steam really quick. And then if it does really well, they'll port it.
It does have... Google does say... PlayStation 4, Xbox, and Microsoft Windows. Huh? But it says the initial release date is the 31st, but then in the description it talks about October 22nd. So let's check Nobody out what they're... I'm going to check their Twitter. Yeah, it's coming to PlayStation because PlayStation Europe tweeted about it. That's how I saw it.
Oh.
So it must be coming to... Okay, now, okay, here we go. Now, this is why Google's so messed up, because I guess they changed it. So it's coming to PC on the 22nd, and it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One on the January 21st. So it's going to be staggered release. Makes sense. I mean, that's usually what happens with these kind of indie scary games. They come on Steam first and then console later. So I'll just have to avoid it and not say anything about it. So, but yeah, that looks cool. Shame I can't get the scary game for Halloween, but oh well. But yeah, I guess now we're just jumping away and playing. I saw you haven't really been playing much.
No, not really. I'm kind of in a slump. Like, I have a lot of things I can play, but nothing I really feel like getting drawn into necessarily. And I'm kind of at a point in Final Fantasy VIII where I want to be able to sit down for a good few hours and just play through it, because I'm right at the Lunatic Pandora. That's like right when shit starts to get really crazy and weird.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I kind of want to just sit like all day with nothing else to do and play it. And also, I'm missing one of my Joy-Cons, so I had to send it in to get fixed because it has drift.
Oh, okay, so not missing you. Okay.
I didn't lose it or break it or anything. I'm just like, it's MIA.
Where did it go?
They say it's being fixed, but it's going to take like another week or 2 weeks to get back to me, which sucks. So I haven't really been taking my Switch to like work or just around or anything like that. So
you don't have any controller for it?
We have a Pro controller, yeah, but I mean, making that portable is cumbersome.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just kind of like stuck in docked mode right now. Yeah. It's just kind of home console, and I think I'm need to get back into playing 14 because there's only a couple weeks before 5.1 comes out, I think. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to jump into that like immediately because Shadowbringers is so fucking good and I want story now, please let me play.
Yeah.
So I need to get back into that and like remember how to play my jobs.
Yeah, should be good. I know I saw one of my old FF buddies playing it the other day. He got back in there.
Good.
So, and you finished Goose Game, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. How long was Goose Game?
Probably about 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours, if you kind of just dick around and take your time and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like, well, that's for like the main game. And then after that, it opens up these like extra objectives that you can do. So you can pile on more hours doing that stuff or just messing around if you want to do that. But from like start to open ended game, I guess it's like 2.5 hours.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't gone back to Borderlands 3 because ever since Destiny Shadowkeep came out, my cousin's been playing that, so we haven't gone back into Borderlands yet. Which is fine because there was a patch they did that kind of broke some of my kill skills in my character. They wouldn't proc right. But then they patched it later. So, but again, well, hopefully we'll get back to it soon because I think he's almost done with the stuff he has to do in Destiny. And then outside of Apex Season 3, which I'm really enjoying, I started Wolfenstein Youngblood. And I'm having fun with it. I do think I kind of agree with what they talk about the two characters together. Jess and Soph, I think, sort of the name. How the dialogue's kind of funny. Like, in the cutscenes, like, there's this, in the opening of the game, like, when they first get to this, like, they get on this Zeppelin, and they have to take out this commander, this commandant. And they find their very first Nazi, and they're like, you know, they're nervous about killing someone for the first time. You know, they've been trained their whole lives with their dad and their mom, back in the U.S., but they never actually fought anybody yet. So it's kind of like that Lara Croft, you know, Tomb Raider reboot situation where, like, they're nervous and they finally killed the Nazi. And it seems like it's going to be kind of emotional, but then it's just like, fuck yeah, dude. And they're like rocking out and one of them pukes and they start laughing. And then it's like, there's certain cutscenes where I feel like they're really good characters, but then the dialogue, like, I feel like the in-game dialogue they have when they're talking to each other is just a little too over the top for how they're portrayed in other cutscenes. I was like, it feels like this weird disconnect,
almost like they were written by like two different people who didn't communicate with each other how they were writing the characters.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. It's weird. And one thing that does kind of suck is you can't dual wield every weapon. I don't know if that's because, I mean, they have the power suit, so it can't be like a strength disparity between BJ Blazkowicz and his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have the power suits. They can jump. They don't take fall. They have, you know, they can still smack into people. But you can't, I think it's like a balance thing they did in the game. So you can't dual wield shotguns. You can't, the only thing you can dual wield are these Uzis, which are actually pretty freaking OP. But yeah, that kind of bummed me out. I like the way they're doing the, I like how there's an actual skill tree in this game, because the, you know, you played Wolfenstein the way they did it previously, how you just, you use stuff and that's how you unlock more perks. Like, oh, you killed people with five grenades. Oh, now you get, you know, bigger blast rates, or you can carry more. Oh, you slid, kill people while sliding. You get, you know, I don't know, agility or something. Which is fine, because I like in RPGs and that, oh, clearly you're using a sword, you're better with swords. Like, I like that in games. Like, you get better at what you're using. That makes sense. But I kind of like how there's a proper skill tree in Wolfenstein.
Yeah, Doom did that too, where you get, like, a new weapon and you could unlock perks and stuff with it by completing, I guess, objectives with that specific weapon.
Yeah, and that it was more like stuff you actually had to try to do, versus like where in Wolfenstein always felt like you would just do that stuff naturally. Like, there were some like it was always like the first perk you could just get, and then the second one, like, oh, you know, you could do it, but you know, if you don't do that kind of playstyle, you have to work for it. Like, especially because I snuck around a lot, so if there's very much those guns in, you know, run guns blazing kind of things, I'd have to do that on purpose to get those specific perks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. I kind of like the way they structured the side missions too. It's like you have the central hub that's in the catacombs of Paris, which is really cool. So like all the skulls are in the wall. And you get these side quests in these different sections. And basically it's like, oh, you have these three objectives you have to take care of. And they're, you know, they have a level system in this game now, so you have to level up to be strong enough to go fight the enemies there, which is, you know, I could take it or leave it, this level system. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, I'm used to it in Assassin's Creed. It's like, okay, it's in Wolfenstein now. I don't, you know, I kind of just, artificial thing to block you from just burning through it. But you get these side quests, and it's like, oh, here's District 1. Here's a bunch of side quests. It's like, okay, that's cool. But then I'd finish these side quests and go back because I can't do the main mission because I'm trying to level up to get to be able to do it. And then it's like, after I turn it in, then they immediately give me another mission. And I'm like, I don't like games that instantly give me a new mission after I complete one. I like to wait until like that's why I liked Far Cry. Or I guess AC could have done the same thing, but where it's like, you know, you do all the side quests in an area and then you do the main story beat. And then once that's done, then the side quests refresh.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, yeah, it was just weird. So I felt like I was like, well, why do I have to? Luckily, the fast travel isn't that bad. You just quickly go back to the place. But yeah, I'm having fun with it. I like it has some fun co-op stuff in it. Like, I'm not playing any co-op, but I like these. There's these perks you could do. These they're called, I think it's called pep, like kind of pep talk kind of thing. And it's basically, it's these different hand signs you can throw up and you can unlock them where it's like, you know, throw up the, you know, the devil horns for like at a rock concert. And that does like, oh, this will give you a boost to your, it'll give both the players a like 60 armor. And then it's like, oh, you do a thumbs up that does 50 health. And it's, and they say stuff like, fuck yeah, Jess. And like, you know, you're doing, kill those Nazis. But
what?
It's on a cooldown, but it's a really cool idea. That's like, it's this ability you can unlock. And then both of you can do it, and you share the cooldown. So you can each have, like, oh, this character can have, I'll run the armor perk, and you run the health one. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, in this situation, okay, I'll run it, and then it goes on cooldown, yada, yada. But there was this, the one problem I had was I was in this one area, and, like, you can customize all the guns, I think, kind of in the same way you could. It's been a while since I played the previous Wolfenstein, so I don't remember how much customization you can do on the weapons and that. But like, you unlock these different essentially, like, you have different mags, like, oh, extended mag, a drum mag, or it's like a third mag. And then in one, it's like, I saw I could put a flashlight on my gun. I'm like, why would I put a flashlight in any of my guns? And then I get to this level where I had to go in the sewer, and it's pitch fucking black in the sewer.
Ugh.
But there's Nazis walking around, and they don't have flashlights. And I'm like, well, hold on. These guys are walking around the sewer, and they don't, like, I figured most games that are, you know, dark sewer, they have random light sources going around. Or the soldiers at least have, you know, a flashlight or something near them. But no, it's just Commandant walking around, and there's a super soldaten just chilling in the dark. And I'm like, but, and like, they spot you. I'm like, wait, how do they spot me? They don't have a flashlight. So I had to buy a flashlight for it. Luckily, I can get the flashlight for the shotgun and the main rifle. But I was like, this is a really weird level. I don't understand why it's so dark.
Ultimate universe Nazis can see in the dark.
Yeah, I guess they all got Uber eyes or something. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not finished with it yet. I've only done one of the main story missions. I'll definitely go forward and finish it. I'm enjoying it. It's fun to just run around. And I had this AI companion, I didn't want to go in and just, like, typically single player, I'll play on, like, the hardest difficulty I can. But I was like, I kind of just want to burn through it, so I'm just playing on normal. Because I really don't want the AI to be, like, screwing me up. Because you share lives, and you can find lives hidden throughout the levels in these boxes you open up together. And so I don't know if the AI gets downed and bleeds out. Does that count as a lost life?
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah, so I'm like, and I've been at, you have three bonus lives max. And there's pretty good abundance of these extra life chests you can get. But I've never had a situation where I died. Like, I've been downed sometimes, but then the AI would pick me up, and it's a pretty quick respawn or a revive. But yeah, so it's like, I don't want to play on, like, really hard difficulty and then have the AI just not, you know, pull their weight, I guess. Plus, I think because the leveling stuff, I don't think you can stealth quite as well as you could previously. Like, obviously you have the takedowns, but there's certain aspects I feel like the leveled, like, it's like in Assassin's Creed, like, you can stealth, but on hard modes you can't one shot assassinate certain enemies. I feel like because this game's like that, I can't necessarily do that.
But
yeah, I'm having fun with it. Well, I'm curious to see, because this was obviously done by Arkane, I'll be curious to see what Machine Games does with the proper Wolfenstein 3. I'm also curious how, like, because this takes place in the 80s, like, I'm wondering what Wolfenstein 3 is going to do, because the way this game sets it up, it's like, I can only imagine, like, nothing happens really between, I guess the way they present it is, like, not much happens between when they're born and then what happens in this game. So I'm guessing if Wolfenstein 3 comes out, it'll, like, maybe it'll have a prologue that's what happens after we, you know, maybe we do the liberation of America, and then we time jump to what BJ Blazkowicz is doing in this game, because that's why the daughters go to find him, because he just left randomly. And there's some stuff going on in the world, like, you can see about. I'm like, this is interesting. Obviously, this means something. It's probably what he's trying to do or figure out. So I'll be curious to see how this ends and if it kind of sets up, like, if Wolfenstein 3 will be a time jump, which would make sense. Because it doesn't sound like much happens between, with him, anyways, between the end of 2 and this game. So, but yeah, I'll be curious to see about what happens there. But yeah, other than that, I'm playing much else. I'm just waiting for Call of Duty comes out soon. I believe that comes out on the 18th. It's either the 18th or the 25th. I think it's the 25th. But that comes out later this month. Looking forward to that. That should be real good. But yeah, that's basically it. So I guess we'll just wrap it up there. And yeah, so thank you all for tuning and listening. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.